I find myself oftentimes reading the Psalms, meditating upon the Psalms, looking at the Psalms, all 150 of the Psalms. They all have a message of salvation and mercy to sinners in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who salvation is for. Salvation is not for good folks. Good folks don't need salvation, do they? The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Paul said, I'm the chief one. Old Saul of Tarsus, he said, I'm the chief one. But I'm taking the title for the message from what is said in verse 7. The Lord, the Lord. The Lord is my rock and the Lord is my strength. You see verse 7? The Lord is. He's mine. He's my strength. I don't know what he is to everybody else, but to the believer, he's my strength. He's my hope. He's my all. He's my shield. My heart trusteth him. In him. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. I'm helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices in the Lord. And with my song, David just had one song. I will praise the Lord. He just had one song. Praise the Lord. So I trust in the Lord, and I'm helped. I'm helped in him, and I'm helped by him. Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll strengthen thy heart. So what a great privilege we have to trust the Lord. And you know, isn't that the essence of saving faith? Is to trust the Lord. That's the essence of saving faith. Looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the author and finisher of our faith. Truly, those who are led by his grace to trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are those who have been mightily helped of him. For the scriptures teach us in John 15, our Lord said, without me you can do nothing. But Paul writes about it and said, through him I can do all things. Through him. But without him we can do nothing. But with him we can do all things. We are what we are as believers by his almighty and sovereign grace. We say with the Apostle Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. The grace of God is never bestowed in vain, is it? Of his fullness have we all received, what? Grace for grace. Grace upon grace. We are what we are by his sovereign grace, by his sovereign love. He's loved his people with an everlasting love. There never has been a time, since there was time, when God has not loved his people because he's loved them with an everlasting love. And we are what we are by his grace, his sovereign grace, his sovereign love, and his sovereign mercy. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions, they do not fail. They do not fail. Now, let's read and consider verse 1 and 2 for a moment. And we'll work our way down through verse 9. Verse 1 and 2, unto thee will I cry, O Lord my rock. To have a rock to rest upon is to have a foundation. Christ is our solid rock foundation. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down to the pit. The only thing the Lord has to do for sinners to perish is just to leave them to their own wicked devices, and we'll perish. It's only the grace of God that has made us to differ. If you leave me alone, if you're silent to me, if you don't disturb me, if you don't wake me up, if you don't give me life in Christ, I'm going to perish. That's what he's saying there. Hear my voice, verse 2. Hear the voice of my supplications. When I cry, not a matter of if, when I cry unto thee, and when I lift up my hands toward thy holy temple, or thy holy oracle, the tabernacle, the mercy seat in Christ Jesus. Twice in these two verses, David says, I will cry unto thee, And then he says, I will cry, verse 1, will I cry, O Lord, unto thee? And then verse 2, hear the voice of my supplication when I cry. When I cry. Now, responsible parents, when their child cries, they give attention, don't they? Must be something wrong when that child is crying. And we try to find out what the problem is. And if you're like me, I try to get that little one to stop crying. I don't want to hear that little one cry. But he says, O Lord, unto thee I cry. Now, a cry is an expression of sorrow, is it not? When I cry unto the Lord, it's an expression of distress. It's a distress call. It's a distress call for help. Help me. I'm in trouble. I cry. David said, I cry unto the Lord. He's the one that can help me. We cry out of the distress of our sin. We cry out of the grief of sorrow. And we cry to the Lord to help us. And that's to whom we direct our cries and our prayers and our pleas. When we make our requests known unto God, we cry unto Him. He's the only one that can help us. He's the only one that can help us in our time of need. Christ alone is able to hear our prayers, and Christ alone is able to answer our prayers according to His will. Now, we're taught to pray in Scripture according to His will. Our Father which is in heaven, remember the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And the Lord said, our Father, pray this way, our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we pray, when we pray, it's asking the Lord, Lord, thy will be done. And then prayer is submitting unto the will of the Lord. Unto the Lord I rock, He alone is the immutable, unmovable, solid foundation of all our hope and all our help. He's the foundation. We used to sing a chorus years ago. I hold not the rock, but the rock holds me. The rock holds me. Have you ever heard that chorus? The rock holds me. You see, the believer being fastened to the rock. To move the believer, you got to move the rock. Christ is that rock. This might not be good English, but it's good theology. He ain't moving. He's the unmovable rock. He's the immovable rock. 24 times I found in the book of Psalms, the Lord Jesus Christ is described as our rock. He's the rock. He's the mighty foundation upon which He has laid, upon which we rest. The Lord said to Peter, upon that rock of Christ, the anointed Christ, I'll build my church. And nothing, not even the demons of hell, the devils of hell, and Satan himself can prevail against my church. Because they're built on the rock. What's true of the rock is true of the church. We're one with Him, in Him, on Him, by Him, through Him. You remember Psalm 27, verse 5. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Now, He's that rock. He is that rock. Now, here's another scripture I was looking at today. Turn one page to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verse 3. For thou art my rock, my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. You're my rock. You're my rock. My rock. This is an interesting one. Turn over to Psalm 61. Psalm 61. I like this one. Psalm 61. Look at verse 1. Psalm 61, verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, overwhelmed with grief, sorrow, trouble, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Lead me to that rock. For thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covering of thy wings. Turn one page. Psalm 62 is all about Christ the rock. Psalm 62, verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only, you see that? I call this Psalm 62, remember? The only psalm. He only, my rock, my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Greatly moved. Look at verse 6. He only is my rock, my defense. I shall not be moved. Trust in him at all times. God is a refuge for us. I love that Psalm 62. We may look at that sometime this year. What he's saying here, David is saying, I have a foundation upon which I rest. And the foundation upon which I rest is Christ himself. You remember Isaiah 28, behold, I lay in Zion for foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. He that believeth on him will never be forced out. Now, there's an interesting scripture, if you want to make note of this. We read it before in Deuteronomy 32. Don't turn. I've got it written down here for us to read. How? And here's what it says. Deuteronomy 32, verse 30. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? How would one soldier chase 1,000 and two put thousands to flight? Except their rock had sold them or promoted them, and the Lord had shut them up. And then he writes this, for their rock, that is the Philistines, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and all the other ites, he said, their rock is not as our rock. Their rock's not like our rock. Their rock is sinking sand. Our rock is solid, secure, and everlasting. Everlasting. That's why the Lord said, upon that rock I'll build my church. Upon Christ himself. Now verse 2. Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry unto thee. When I lift up my hands. And it's not talking about physical hands so much as it is the hands of faith. The arms of faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. When I lift up my hand toward thy holy place. The holy place. The holy oracle. And what he's really referring to is the mercy seat. The mercy seat. Turn to Psalm 138, I believe it is. Psalm 138. Turn over there. Another psalm of David, talking about verse 1, Psalm 138. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods, small g, will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship for thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness, for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. I will worship toward thy holy tabernacle. Now, when David talked about the temple wasn't built then. He's talking about the tabernacle. It's the place where God dwelt. It's where the mercy seat was in the Holy of Holies. When the priest came in on that day of atonement and sprinkled blood upon the mercy seat. So David is asking to be heard upon the fact that Christ has made full atonement for our sin upon the mercy seat. That's what he's saying there. Where blood atonement was made for the sin of God's people. And John writes about it. Said, here in his love, not that we love God, but he loved us. And that he sent his son to be our propitiation, our mercy seat for our sin. If we would gain access unto God, who is not only almighty, but most holy, we must come to God through the designated mediator and high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Seeing we have such a great high priest, he said, come boldly to the throne of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ is only one mediator. God too holy and we're too sinful. This vile sinner cannot come to holy God apart from a proper mediator. A proper high priest with somewhat to offer, and that we know is the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember our study in the book of Hebrews, saying that we have a great high priest. For by one offering he perfected forever them that are sanctified in Christ. If we would gain access unto God, who is holy, we must come to him through the designated mediator. That's why our Lord said, I am the way, not a way, the truth, the lie. And then he says, no man comes to the Father but by and through and in and because of me, Christ alone. We lift up our empty hands as mercy beggars unto him who is able to supply our every need according to his riches in glory. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. The Lord provides for us perfectly, doesn't he? Complete everlasting righteousness. It says in Daniel chapter 9, somewhere over there it says, the Lord brings in everlasting righteousness for us. Blessed is that man whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. And we have complete and total redemption from all our sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we go back to verse 1 for just a moment, our cry is, Lord, don't leave me alone. Don't be silent to me. If the Lord just simply leaves us to our own wicked heart, we'll surely perish in our sin. The Lord must invade our heart, our mind, our will, and make us willing in the day of his power, lest we end up in the pit of eternal damnation. Let I become like them to go down to the pit. Now the pit's what we deserve. The pit is what we've earned. We're not deserving of the least of his mercies. But rather the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. That's what I've earned. That's what I've got coming to me. But I want mercy. I beg for mercy. I beg for mercy. Thank God there's mercy with the Lord. He delights to show mercy. We gladly take our place before him as a mercy beggar, don't we? God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And the good news of the gospel, as you read through the book we call the Bible, the scriptures of given by inspiration of God, we never read one time when the Lord turned a deaf ear to a sincere mercy beggar. He heard every cry and he answered their cry. Just name it. The leper, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. I will be thou clean. Blind Bartimaeus, Lord! The Lord stood still. What do you need? I'm blind. The Lord restored his sight, made him whole. And just go on reading through the scripture. There was never one who came to the Lord seeking mercy that was turned away. You see, the Lord, with the Lord there is mercy, with him is plenteous redemption. Now look at verse 3, 4, and 5. Here is what we all deserve, therefore we cry, draw me not away with the wicked. You see verse 3? Let's read these three verses. Draw me not away with the wicked, and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief's in their heart. Mischief's in their heart. Wickedness is in their heart. Give them according to their deeds, according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their own hands. Render to them their just deserving. That's what he's saying there. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them. Those that regard not the work of the Lord, who go about to establish the righteousness of their own, he shall destroy them and not build them up. Now here is what we all deserve judgment. But we say with David, Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. We are by nature workers of iniquity. You see that? Workers of iniquity. Wicked workers of iniquity, who masquerade as the Pharisees did in the Lord's day as doing works of righteousness. Remember they said, Lord, we preached in your name, we cast out devils in your name, we've done these many wonderful works in your name. What did he tell them? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. They thought they were establishing a righteousness. He called it nothing but sin. Away with it. Workers of iniquity, masquerading as doing good things, the Lord says their just end is damnation. The second thing we see there, he says, which speak peace to their neighbors. They proclaim that we have peace with God upon the ground of their works. I was looking at this scripture. Turn back to Psalm 12. Psalm 12. They speak flattering things. They speak peace to their neighbors. Peace, peace. Everybody says, well, we're at peace with God. Okay. Look at Psalm 12, verse 1. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. Psalm 12, verse 1. For the faithful man faileth from among the children of men. They speak vanity, everyone, to his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart, a double tongue do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. The Lord's going to cut them off. Cut them off. You see, the false prophet would say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Where there is no peace. How can we have as sinners... How can we have peace with God? Only through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's called the Prince of Peace, the King of Peace. We only have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, because he made peace for us with his own blood. So, don't draw me away with the wicked, with these workers of iniquity which speak peace to their neighbor, but mischief is in their heart. Their heart's full of evil. That's why they do mischief. You wonder why people do evil things? Because their heart is evil. The heart is evil and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Their heart is full of mischief and evil. Give them according to their deeds, according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. You see, the work of their hands, man at his best state is altogether vanity. Our best deeds that we have are nothing but filthy rags. Our self-righteousness are filthy rags in his sight. Render to them their just deserving, for the wages of sin is death. Look at verse 5. They regard not the works of the Lord. They regard their own works and they prefer their own works more. That's why they trust themselves that they are righteous. That's why they're going about to establish the righteousness of their own. They regard not the works of the Lord. The works of the Lord are what? Well, perfect obedience to the law of God, whereby he established the righteousness for us. The works of God are what? Redemption through his blood sacrificed for us. These are the works of the Lord. His intercession, his mediation, his priesthood. All the things that he has done for us. They regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. You see, he accomplished salvation for us with his hands. That old religious saying, you remember what it says? God has no hands but your hands. That's a lie. God has no feet but your feet. That's a lie. God doesn't need your hands. God doesn't need your feet. He accomplished all about salvation by himself. Look at verse 5 again. Because they regard not the works of the Lord. I found this psalm, Psalm 111. His work is honorable and glorious. His righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. The wicked, unbelieving, have no regard for the true and living God, no regard for his sovereign works of providence, no regard for his sovereign work of salvation. They regard their own work to be higher in value than his, glorious works. You see, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. You see, salvation, salvation is by works. You understand that? His, not ours. His works. It's what he has done for us. Our Lord said so many times, I came to do the work of the Father. I came to do the work of the Father. And he finished the work for us, for his people. Now, let's get down to these blessings we see in verse 6, 7, and 8, 9. Blessed be the Lord. Those who do regard the work of the Lord, that salvation is of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Bless the Lord. You remember that's Ephesians chapter 1, where it says, we bless God who had blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. We're accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard, the voice of my supplication. He heard my cry. He answered my prayer. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Our prayer now turns to praising the Lord. Bless the Lord. Praising the Lord for his mercy. Confessing that Christ is all of our hope. God's people are blessed, a blessed people, a praising people, now and eternally. And then look at verse 7. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is. He's saying the same thing as saying, as he says in Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light, the Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my strength. The strength of faith is not. Think about this. The strength of faith is not in faith. The strength of faith is Christ. He's the object of our faith. The strength of salvation is Christ. The Lord is my strength. He's the strength of my righteousness. He's the power. Christ is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. The Lord is my strength and he's my shield. We are but weak and frail and sinful creatures of the flesh. Christ has to be all our strength before God. All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is the flower of the field. Christ is our strength, and then Christ is our shield. When Paul describes in Ephesians chapter 6 about taking the whole armor of God, put on the whole armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, and the shield of faith. You remember them old movies years ago we used to watch when we were kids, of Robin Hood and the kings and the knights and all those different. They'd have a shield on this side, a shield to defend, and a sword to the offensive weapon, and then the shield to defend. Christ is our shield and Christ is our sword. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's our protection, our defense from all enemies, seen and unseen, known and unknown. I would rather have his shield, the shield of faith, than the shield of the flesh. Think about it. The shield of the flesh or the shield of faith in Christ Jesus. And then he says in verse 7, my heart trusteth him. My heart trusted in him. Well, that's a good thing to trust. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. My heart trusted and is trusting in him. The evidence of a new heart being made a new creature in Christ, the evidence of that is God giving us a new heart. A new heart that causes us to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for all of salvation, and those that trust in him will never be ashamed. Never be ashamed. The Lord is my strength, my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I'm helped. That's the fruit of that. He said, I'm helped. You see that? I'm helped. Do you need help? I need help. I'm poor and needy creature. The Lord is my help. I am helped. I'm helped in him. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. This is our confession. He is our helper. He is our helper. Don't turn. Let me just read this to you. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. He's our help in trouble. Therefore, he said, my heart. Now, when David, when we talk about the heart, he's not talking about this organ. He's not talking about this thing we have in the middle of our chest. He's talking about who we really are as believers. Talking about our affection, our will, our mind, our emotions. All that we are as believers, our heart, who we really are, greatly rejoices in him. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We are the true Israel which worship God in the Spirit, that rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. And with my song, we just sing one song. We just have one song. Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. My heart greatly rejoices in him, and with my song, I'm going to praise him. With my lips, I'm going to praise him. As David said in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his name. Now look at verse 8. The Lord is their strength. And the strength of their salvation. And he is the saving strength of his anointed. Now who? We know David was the anointed king. But this is talking about David's king. This is talking about David's Lord. Talking about the anointed, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's anointed in all of his offices, prophet, priest, and king. Prophet, priest, and king. He is the anointed one of God. Look over here at Psalm 45. Psalm 45, verse 6. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness, hatest wickedness. Therefore, God thy God hath anointed thee with an oil of gladness above thy fellows. The Lord Jesus Christ is anointed in all of his office as prophet, priest, and king. And that's what he has made unto us. He's the saving strength of our salvation, the anointed one. Now, I'm gonna let you do research on verse 9, and I'm just gonna remind you of it, that the article on the back of the bulletin, and we'll make this our prayer for this day forward. Save thy people. You see that? Save thy people. Who are these people? Those given to Christ in that covenant of grace. Bless thine inheritance. His people are his inheritance. We're called the sheep of this pasture, the people of his hand, the sheep of this pasture. And then feed them or rule them. Rule over them. And he does. He has a righteous rule, a sovereign rule. And then lift them up forever. Lift them up forever. And that's what he does. He's lifted us from the pit. Deliver them from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. I looked that up today, that verse in Job 33, deliver them from going down the pit, I have found a ransom. And if you look in the marginal reference on that verse, it says atonement. Christ is our atonement. He's all the atonement for our sins.